Z On Air Music presents Long Player.
My name's David Fewai Afaese. I usually go by the music moniker Dave Urso, but as of recently, I have a new creative entity of Le'au, where I'm releasing new Samoan alternative music.
Where did the name Le'au come from?
So Le'au's a Matai name, which is a chief title. Within my two families, so my mum and dad's family, and the last person to hold the Le'au title was my grandfather, Le'au Afaese Afaese. I got real inspired whilst I was on my journey of rediscovering and reconnecting my own Fa'a Samoa, of channeling a traditional and ancestral energy through my current space of music.
Can I ask what part of Samoa your family is from?
Yeah, so my father's from Mulifanoa, which is on the west side of Upolu, and my mother's more inland of Upolu, in a village called Lalomanga.
Beautiful. So is this something you've reconnected with recently, your Samoan family and heritage?
It's always an ongoing journey, especially being a member of the diaspora and trying to rediscover what being Samoan means for me. But this journey of Le'au, I guess, started when I had a conversation with Larson Taylor when I was just picking up a cassette, and he was talking about incorporating more Māori aspects of musicality into his music, or even just like Māori values into the music, and that got me thinking a lot about what I can do in terms of channeling my own Fa'a Samoa into my music. And then along the way, just like a bunch of new spaces coming in.
It's interesting to me, there's a lot of, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe traditional style Samoan music still gets made.
Yeah.
But yours is really experimental, so it's pulling on a completely different thread.
It was real interesting. So like, since making music, I've always enjoyed alternative indie music and stem a lot of my influences from like The Strokes, Aerial Pink. But during the time I started thinking about trying to create a Samoan alternative project, I was working on this short film called Our Father, and then the score, or the ethos for that, was like real traditional 60s style like folk pop music, where there's just a lot of like spangly guitar layers, and I feel that during that time that sort of carried over to the project. The Ghost Roads project, where a lot of the guitar's elements of traditional Samoan pop sort of laid the foundation, and then I sort of just put my own sort of creative mind on top of that.
Yeah, I think it's quite different from anything I've ever heard before in that
thank
way.
You. tell
me a little bit why you chose the title Ghost Roads.
Like a lot of my music, I tend to write from a very present and experiential space. So at the time I started writing the Ghost Roads project, I was going through a very sort of dissonant space within myself, where I sort of felt real observant of the world, but at the same time, because I was so observant, I felt just real ghostly in my spaces. And then I had this real beautiful conversation with two friends of mine, and we're just like talking about like space and just connection and just community. And then when I drove home that night, there was no cars on the road, and it was so weird. And the first thing that came to my mind was the initial name of the project, Ghost Roads and High Beams, because I figured since there was no cars on the road, I'd flick my high beams on. But yeah, now that ended up being shortened down to Ghost Roads.
I want to go through the tracks on the EP. There's five of them, starting with Siva Masina.
Mm.
Can you tell me a little bit about this track and what it means to you and how it came together?
So I started each project by just naming them track 1, 2, and 3. Siva Masina was the seventh track that I worked on. And the Siva Masina means moon dance, and sort of the space around that song is just an invitation to the night. It's the first song of the album, and it's just an invitation to come take part in the rituals of the night, just to dance, and sort of just like the feelings around that, just all these spirits that and like associated with like nighttime navigation. Real funny because that was the last song I needed to do vocals on, but when I went to go do the in the third verse do vocal harmonies on it, I was just being stupid, like my sisters were saying I sound really bad, but when I actually listened back after recording it, I was like, whoa, this sounds like church, this sounds like my aunties and uncles at church. And It's sort of my favorite song on the project, just because it exudes so much different aspects of self. It's got these real weird post-punk, punk like guitar riffs, and then all these like new wave synths, but then just like the spangly guitars and just like the real deep lyrics just like bring a lot of home for it.
Mm-hmm. I notice your lyrics are quite low. They're sort of in there almost like a part of the music or instrument rather than the lyric itself.
Yeah, I think that in a more general setting of music making, a realization I've sort of come to terms with in terms of vocals, just like they're also another instrument, our vocals are another instrument, and I sort of feel like an obligation to mix them like any other instrument, so it's like orchestrally balanced.
When you go from Siva Masina to Afi Afi, the next track on the EP, it's weirdly almost seamless, but so distinct as well. Was that intentional?
Very much so. Like one of the things I'm really stoked on about the project is the track listing. Like just real happy with how things flow.
Mm-hmm.
And even just the narrative, once we talk about the songs a bit more, it sort of just makes sense because we have this invitation of the night in Siva Masina, and then the lyrics that get touched on in Afi Afi are more a precautionary warning about spending fun in the night.
Is this relating back to like Samoan Aitu and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, very much so. So you have this calling of like ancestors in Siva Masina, but then like when you get to Afi Afi, it sort of feels like it's just one entity that's before you, just like telling you in a real like I guess poppy way that like just like be careful and be cautious as you navigate through the festivities.
The next track is A Thousand Phantoms.
Mm.
What's the title a reference to here?
The song is a redo. So one of the things I enjoy doing in terms of my music is just redoing old songs that I've done before. So A Thousand Phantoms was a redo of a demo that I did long ago of the same name. And I think there was only like 2 months before working on the Ghost Roads project that I made the original Thousand Phantoms song. But I guess that sort of was like the pre-existing space before the whole ghostly articulation, where it very much felt like a lot of ghosts and devils were sort of like weaving themselves into my articulations at the time. But at the same time, sort of acknowledging that like sort of the beauty that those spirits and beings have within my existence. And like just like calling on those spirits to like give me guidance and like reassurance, because they've got a whole history to share with me and channel through me. And then just like in the scope of like Ghost Roads, A Thousand Phantoms, sort of just like the peak of the festivities.
Thank you.
drum beat is so familiar feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know why. What, is that you playing the drums or is that a
sample? All the drums that I did on the Ghost Roads were just using like a drum machine on Logic. And then I would just like process them through like filters and stuff to make them sound more live.
On that train of thought, the guitars, are you playing the guitars in the project or...?
Yeah. So all the instrumentations are done by me.
What is your kind of home studio setup?
I've had a very transitional like life. So at the time I started Ghost Road, I had just moved into a new house, and I was sort of in a space where like I thought if I wanted to do any live recording, I had to. Bring out all my gear, lay it out on the bed, rewire it to the closest like PowerPoint, and then like just like try and record for as long as I can until things got a bit messy where I had to like tidy it up again. But yeah, it was just like Scarlett Interface, guitar, and a laptop.
This EP is out on Noah Records, which is helmed by Wi-Fi Sucks.
Mm.
And his whole ethos is like making music with whatever's lying around.
I remember back in maybe 2018, 17, he like did a post where like he made a track using like the SingStar PlayStation 2 microphones. And yeah, that's sort of been a buzz. Like, so like the last 2 years, I've done all my vocals on songs I've made through just Apple headphones.
Yeah, because the track that we were just talking about, A Thousand Phantoms, that has quite strange vocal processing. So that's through the headphones that you're singing into.
Yeah, just like, it's real funny because I finished the instrumentations, the instrumentals around August, but I didn't actually finish the project till about late October, and that was just me just messing around with different microphones, just like trying to get a specific sound. But then at the end of maybe mid-October, I was like, I'm just going to do all the vocals again with the Apple headphones.
The next track is Vale Paia.
Vale Paia.
Thank you. Tell me about how this track kind of starts. It's got that very like stormy kind of sound, and then the lyrics almost like surface, like coming out of a fog or out of water or something.
So that Vale Paia was the first track to be finished, and it was just a 8-bar loop. But I was sort of in a space where like this, I knew the song could be more, but I knew that I didn't need to record any more instrumentals or vocals. And then around the same time where I was thinking about what I could do with the song, I saw that BBC had posted up their big catalogue of sound samples.
Oh, right, yes, I remember.
So I went on there and found some ocean samples. And then at the time I was still on Twitter and I just tweeted, like, I really like the sound of lawnmowers. And then that, like, sparked the idea. So I went on to the BBC sample bank and found a lawnmower and then just, like, sort of just curated it, the start of it. And then I was just thinking about how I could, like, try and transition into the main 8-bar loop. And then just decided to pitch it and just, like, progressively make it louder to the actual volume.
I'm
what was the feeling that you were looking to convey with this track in particular?
Sort of just coming home. Like, so the first three tracks are very up-tempo and very high energy. And I guess it sort of just a breath, like a breath of air, just to have that sort of interlude into what culminates in Pua Malil. The way I think about Vale Pe'i is it's the intro to Pua Malil. Sort of just like this calling of ancestors to come back home.
So Pua Malil is the closing track, and it's a really nice bookend to the record. You've kind of gone back to those traditional guitars as well.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about this track.
I'll say a little bit more on Vale Pe'i. So Vale Pe'i, it means sacred fool. And I guess within the journey of Ghost Roads, sort of like it sort of touches on just how beautiful foolishness and mistakes can be. They are, like, you know, these happenings happen all around us, and they exist with meaning to get us to a certain point in time.
For sure, yeah, they're the things we learn from a lot.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a real beautiful lead into Pua Malil, which means death flower, which is sort of in the space of how the writing, because it's a love song, but sort of in the space of what that means in terms of transitioning from acknowledging what's sacred foolishness is to the death, to a flower that's growing out of death, just like knowing just how things come to an end, but at the same time, like, it's growing, it's a budding seed for new things. It's just like, when I was writing Pua Malil, it was just like, just a real G'd out pop song.
Yeah. That was Liao talking about his album Ghost Roads, which is out now on Noir Records.
That was Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.